Would you open your Bibles with me to Proverbs 31? Proverbs 31, I'm going to begin reading in the New King James translation from verse 10. Proverbs 31. Who can find a virtuous wife? Her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax, and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night, and provides food for her household, and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength, and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by the night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits down among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman with the fear of the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Today, society has decided that this is Mother's Day. And so mothers are honored. If your picture is back on the wall back there, ladies, your picture is up here right now someplace. Because we too honor you as mothers. And we recognize the great value you are before us all. And if any of you are looking at that picture and saying, "Oh, that's me," remember, vanity is not a part of this discussion today. The beauty of each and every one of you is seen in the eyes of God and in the eyes of your husbands and in the eyes of your families. For some of you, your mothers are able to be here with you today. For some of us, our mothers are not able to be with us today. And yet we do give them honor for the influence they have had in our lives. I am thankful to God that my mother is still alive and with us. I just regret that we cannot be together this day. We are going to be looking at the book of Proverbs this morning and looking at the various things that are said as we examine the worthy woman. As we look at verse 11 within the reading, it says there, "The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so that he will have no lack of gain." We find that indeed the worthy woman is one who is described as trustworthy and who is dependable. Her husband is able truly to entrust to her his income. The worthy woman is one who is not considered frivolous and careless with the things that her husband places before her to consider and to be responsible for. Back in the New Testament, in Titus, we find that the Apostle Paul references the fact that the wife is to be the keeper at home. And I know that for a long time there have been people who thought that meant she was to stay in the house. She couldn't work outside the home. She couldn't have any kind of income. She had to just stay right there at home. And that's not what the word means. The idea of the keeper at home is that she indeed is the homemaker. She is the manager of the house. She may be able to multitask and do a number of things that we'll talk about over the next few minutes. But she recognizes that first and foremost, she is the one the family can depend upon. She is the one that her husband can depend upon to be the manager of the house. In verse 12, we find that it says, she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. The worthy woman is devoted to her husband. She is one that her husband can look to and recognize that within her is all the good that he had hoped for when asking her to be his wife. She recognizes that she took vows on her wedding day that she plans to fulfill all the days of her life. And the husband has confidence that she will behave herself in that fashion. And so she is one who will fulfill that enduring love with every fiber of her being. As we continue reading, there are a couple of verses that we'll look at in this particular reading that show us that the worthy woman has developed some very practical skills. We'll read verse 13 for a moment. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. In verses 21 and 22, she's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. In verses 14 and 15, it read, she is like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar, and she rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household. Within all of that, we simply see that she develops very practical skills. I'm afraid sometimes our society has gotten to the point that the women take on the attitude that somehow being a wife is secondary to her role as a professional, to her role in some other way that society says that she as a woman should rise above that mere sense of being a housewife. The worthy woman who has dedicated herself to marriage is the one who recognizes that being that housewife is the noble calling. It is the noble profession, and while she may be able to have other professions and other callings, this stands above them all as far as the earthly things she might do. And so she learns how to do some things like sewing and cooking. Of course, it could be to various degrees of ability. But she takes seriously a passage we've been talking about as we've looked at Romans chapter 12. We went back to Ecclesiastes there where the ecclesiastical writer says, whatsoever you find to do, do it with your might. She takes that attitude about developing the skills to be the worthy woman within the home that she's a part of. The home that she is the manager of. She sees herself developing those attributes. We go on to see from other readings in this chapter that there is an industriousness about her. In verses 16 through 19, it says, she considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hand to the distaff and her hand holds the spindle there. Down in verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the sashes for the merchants. All of this is the idea that she recognizes that there are many things that she does. The word multitasking in the last 20 years has become a very popular notion. It's the idea of being able to do one job here and another job here, simultaneously doing a job here and a job over here. The business community seems to have just found that word. But I would suspect mothers, the worthy woman, has known that word for centuries. She has been a multitasker. She has been an example to the family of an individual who's able to get a lot of things done. And sometimes it is the idea of running a business, as merchants would call a business. Sometimes it is the idea of working outside the home while still taking care of the things within the home. I think we too often as husbands forget the tremendous blessings that our wives are. We as children forget the blessing that our mother is. If she has a job that works within the home and works outside the home, or if she simply has a job that's working within the home, in all of those ways, she finds herself to be a multitasker. She finds herself to be involved in commerce. She involves herself within the affairs of the family. She's industrious. There are a number of ladies within this congregation that do not have jobs outside the home. They don't take it as simply the idea, this allows me to sit back and watch TV all day long, and then at the last minute call the husband and say, would you bring something home for supper tonight? Now, there's nothing wrong with doing that from time to time. But I mean that the women in this congregation that don't have jobs outside the home have jobs working within the home. We have a number of women within the congregation that not only do that, but have the ability and opportunity to be out in the world in commerce and working diligently for the good of the family. And that's a blessing as well. It's an industriousness that the proverb writer talks about here in Proverbs 31. And we should be thankful for them as well. Indeed, this is something that God has instructed our women to be involved in. Have that industrious attitude as you bring it to your possession, as you bring it to the idea of being a wife and being a mother within the home. Now, there needs to be the warning put forth that if a woman decides there is going to be an area of industry that she'll perform outside the home, it must always be secondary to her responsibilities within the home. That's just what God says has to be. That's the role God has given the husband and the wife. That's the role she has taken on. And again, we're in a society over the last 30 to 40 years that really degraded the sense of motherhood within the home. And we as Christians can't accept that. We as Christians need to recognize that that is the first and primary responsibility of the mother to what's going on within the home. And so she is that one that recognizes her responsibility of being the homemaker, being the manager of the home. And again, I tip my hat to those women who can do the work within the home as the manager of the home and still be involved within the community about them in business and commerce and other things. Do it as thy hand finds to do. Do it with all your might. But never forget, your primary responsibility as a child of God, as that worthy woman that's spoken of in these verses. There are indeed times when necessity requires that sometimes a mother must have the things outside the home primary. Circumstances might be such that the husband is physically not able to work. Circumstances might be such that the environment around us will not give an opportunity of employment for the husband as opposed to the wife. And in those cases, some things may begin to shift, but that needs to be the exception and not the norm to what's described in these verses. I think a warning needs to be given to men and women with regard to the matter of being industrious. Being industrious never should be a substitute for our responsibilities as fathers within the home. It should never be a substitute for our responsibilities as husbands to our wives. And it should not be a substitute for the wife toward her husband or the mother toward the home. What am I talking about? If a man neglects his responsibilities as the husband and father within the home, just to go out and make more and more and more money, just to have more and more and more luxuries, more and more toys, to the neglect of his wife, to neglect of his children, he is not being the husband God wants him to be. He's not being the father God wants him to be. If a woman goes out into the business world to have the luxuries of life, to the neglecting of her duties as a wife, as her duties as a mother, that's not pleasing to God either. Both men and women need to recognize the role they have as husband and wife, the role they have as mother and father within the home. And let that be first and foremost in their minds. And let all the industry that both the husband and the wife are engaged in outside the home be under the umbrella of their responsibilities first within the home. I think that's a fair warning that each one of us needs to remember as we go through life. Reading on in verse 20 of our passage, we find the matter of compassion is presented. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She not only cares about her own, she cares about the needs of those around her. She is aware when a need comes up within the home of a neighbor. She's aware of a need that arises within the home of a brother or sister in Christ, and she steps up to take care of those needs. The worthy woman is compassionate. She takes note of those within the congregation who find themselves in sickness and need assistance. She takes note of those who find themselves handicapped by something and need lifted up. The worthy woman, the compassionate woman, is one who sees that need and responds to it. As we continue to read, we find that there is indeed a concern of developing that inner person of who she is. Verse 25 says, strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in the time to come. Quite simply by that, she recognizes that character matters. Matters to her. What her children think of when they look at how she carries herself. They listen to how she talks to her husband. She is one who sets that deep strength within her and commitment to God that becomes evident to her children, evident to those around her. She finds the time to develop within her all the attributes that God expects out of her as a child of God. She doesn't say, I'm so busy with my housework and I'm so busy with my job outside, and when I come home I've got all these things to do. I don't have time to be reading my Bible. She takes the time to drink in God's Word because she knows what a strength it is to her as that inner. Paul talked to Timothy about the matter of modesty. Peter talks about the matter of adorning themselves outwardly. And clearly from these passages we see that the worthy woman is one who takes on the inner character of godliness, and then it manifests itself not to the idea of showiness, not to the idea of sensuality, but rather to the idea of what is purporting to those around her a godlike beauty. A godlike character. That's the worthy woman as she is developing that inner person. Verse 26 talks about the fact that she speaks words of wisdom and kindness when it says she opens her mouth with wisdom and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She's concerned about what she says. She's concerned about what comes out of her mouth. And let me suggest to you that this is a very difficult thing at times. We as husbands, many times, get to get completely away from what's going on at home. The worthy woman has in mind the responsibilities at home. Even those who are in the workplace, if you ask them, they wake up dealing with the home, they have to go do a job, but they come back to what's in the home. And even while away, their mind can be on what's in the home. And the worthy woman that finds herself as the homemaker all the time has to be careful what proceeds out of her mouth. Her children are hearing how she talks. The children are hearing how she responds and how she reacts. They become the first recipients of her words of wisdom. They become the first recipients of her words of kindness. So that worthy woman is constantly aware and constantly clothing herself in the things that are talked about there in verse 26. Watch what you say, Mom. Watch what you say. Your children are listening. Your children hear. Every mother here could tell you what is now a cute story, but at the time she said, oh no, as in a moment of anger, as in a moment of frustration, maybe that more so than anger, something develops and there's a little set of ears drinking it all in and spews it back. And they have to say, whoa, wait a minute, time out. The worthy woman learns from that and develops beyond it. And for that she is a blessing and a strength. The worthy woman diligently sees the needs of her family and provides for them. In verse 27, she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She makes preparation, the things that are necessary, the things that the family needs, the things that are important to developing the family. It is that sense of seeing that her responsibility, once she has become a mother, once the family has developed as more than simply husband and wife, she sees very clearly what she needs to be doing to move that family along in the internal matters that she's responsible for as the manager of the home. And so she fulfills them. She is one who fears the Lord. Verses 29 and 30, many daughters have done well, but you excelled them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. She makes preparation. She makes preparation as one who fears God to have the Word of God within her heart and to be sharing the Word of God to those little ears that are being impressed upon the will of God. She has within her heart that understanding of what is important and what is praiseworthy. And she shares it with her children, with her loved ones, with those about her in every place at every opportunity. Some of my fondest memories are sitting around our dinner table and being involved in Bible discussions that my parents were involved in and that they brought us into as well. And from that, I saw very clearly the fear of God within their lives. We need, as parents, to be instilling that within our children. We recognize then that indeed, the fear of God is essential for the potential growth within who we are and within what we want the children to be. These are the qualities that are manifested in these verses. There are, on the negative side also, the fact that that wife and mother is not one who is contentious. Verse 9, and then again in verse 19, we see that. As you read verses 21 through 23, you see that she is not one who is hateful and therefore does not manifest that to those around her. I want to end this morning's lesson by reading a poem that I read for you, I think, the very first year that we were here as we were looking at a Mother's Day. It is a poem that is very touching. And the first time I came across it and read it was nearly 20 years ago. And at that time, my mother was what I thought at that time was old, in her 60s, that now I realize was rather young. But now that she's reached the age of 86, I see the endearing words of this particular poem even more meaningful. And I hope it will touch your hearts in your appreciation for your mother. It's called A Living Presence. A young mother set her foot upon the path of life. "Is the way long?" she asked, and the guide answered, "Yes, the way is hard, and you will be old before you reach its end. But the end will be better than the beginning." But the young mother was happy, and she could not believe that anything could be better than these days. So she played with her children and gathered flowers for them along the way. And the sun shone on them and life was good. And the young mother cried, "Nothing can be lovelier than this." Then came night and storm, and the path was hard and the children shook with fear and cold. But the mother drew close to them and covered them with her mantle. And the children said, "We're not afraid, Mother, for you are near, and no harm can come to us." And the mother said, "This is better than the brighter days, for I have taught my children courage." And the morning came, and there was a hill ahead. And the children climbed and grew weary. But at last she said to the children, "A little patience and we will be there." So the children climbed, and when they reached the top, they said, "We could not have done this without you, Mother." And that night, the mother looked up to the stars and said, "This is the better day than the past, for my children have learned fortitude in the face of hardness. Yesterday, I gave them courage. Today, I have given them strength." And the next day came strange clouds, which darkened the earth. Clouds of war and hate and evil. And the children groped and stumbled. The mother said, "Look up. Lift your eyes to the light." And the children looked up and saw above the clouds the everlasting light. And it guided them and brought them beyond the darkness. And that night the mother said, "This is the best day of all. For I have shown my children God." And the days went on, and the weeks, and the months, and the years. And the mother grew aged, and she was little and bent. But the children were tall and strong and walked with courage. And when the way was hard, they lifted her over the rough places. At last they came to a hill, and beyond the hill they could see a shining road and the golden gates, and they flung wide. And the mother said, "I have reached the end of my journey, and now I know that the end is better than the beginning. My children can walk alone, and their children after them." And the children said, "We will always walk with Mother." They stood and watched her walk through the golden gate. Then the gates closed after her, and they said, "We cannot see you now, Mother. But she is with us still, a living presence." It's a wonderful thought to end on as we honor our mothers this day. And we would pray that each one will continue to be a blessing in the role, the valuable role that you play within our lives.